Good morning, my friends. Many of you may know me as Randy Shubin-Dresner of Island Harvest Food Bank. Others know me as the host of this podcast and radio show, Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner. You can hear my show wherever you pick up your podcasts and on Long Island's own WHLI 104.7 FM. This week, we're discussing a very fun topic, at least I think it is, insights into retirement. Maybe we will figure out when would be the right time to step away from this rat race that we're all in. How many times have you asked yourself that question? Maybe you're still working and haven't thought about retirement much. Or maybe retirement is right around the corner and you're simply waiting for the right time to take that next step. No matter what your age or where you are in your career, the time to think about your retirement is now. My two guests have a lot to offer to this conversation, and you'll soon learn why. They're both retired executives, who, by the way, between the two of them, knew basically everyone in the Long Island business community. I know that for a fact. Sally Ballweg's professional career in the financial services industry spanned nearly 40 years. She spent her last 10 as the senior executive vice president of the First National Bank of Long Island, where she managed the bank's commercial banking, real estate, and investment management businesses. She was also the senior executive vice president and secretary of the First of Long Island Corporation, the bank's parent holding company. Though she's retired, Sally currently serves as the supervisory committee for Bethpage Federal Credit Union and is on the board of the Maria Regina Residence, a skilled nursing facility in Brentwood. Martha Stark retired from commercial banking in 2018, working most recently for Signature Bank as a group director and senior vice president. In addition to her financial services career, Martha had served on numerous boards, including chairing the local and regional boards of the American Heart Association and serving as president of the Adelphi University's Alumni Association. In 2015, Martha was awarded the Long Island Athena Leadership Award. And by the way, both women have been awarded many recognitions over the years, including being honored frequently by Long Island Business News as one of Long Island's top 50 businesswomen. So we're here with royalty today, and I'm really excited to have you both with us. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I know you both work very hard to accomplish all you have in business. You were always current and learned how to mix in with all the heavy hitters on Long Island. I know that because at every business meeting I went to, I knew it was the right meeting to go to if you were both there. I appreciate that you're here with us today, but you are truly two key networking professionals. And I'm just wondering if we could start there. We spoke about it a little earlier, but when you plan for retirement, you have to plan for retirement. It doesn't just happen and the next day you hand the keys in. And so I'm just wondering if any of that networking skill that you had developed helped you to prepare, not prepare, but as you're retired now, to know where to go for things and how to find information out. How did it help?
Networking was an integral part of my decision as I move forward into retirement, just because networking served as a resource for me as I was contemplating retiring. Fortunately for me, in my role as a banker, as a private banker, I worked with clients who were talking about networking, retirement. And for that, I had to have the conversation with them about when they wanted to retire. Are they prepared to retire? Three areas you have to be prepared: financially, mentally, and physically.
True.
What does retirement look like for you?
So I guess while you were prepping them, you were kind of prepping yourself,
I was asking those same questions and bouncing the questions off them and having that conversation. It gave me some ideas for myself, and I was able to learn from that as I looked at retirement.
Interesting. How about you, Sally?
Yeah, it's interesting. In reflecting back, I would have initially said I wasn't sure I was using all of my networking skills to prepare for retirement, but 5 years out now, and now I've been retired 5 years, I think it was part of the DNA back then anyway, because as you start to think about retirement, there are a lot of things that you need to take into consideration. And I had very deep conversations about this with my husband, some close friends, and just saying it out loud, like, I think this is the time to retire, then began to make it feel more real. And then you could plan even more accordingly.
You're listening to Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner with my very special guests today, Martha Stark and Sally Ballweg. So I did a little bit of research, and I read somewhere that there are 5 stages of retirement that everyone will go through. So I'm going to test you, ladies. Tell me, is this true? The first stage is pre-retirement. So you're getting your mind set for pre-retirement. Second stage, full retirement. You've turned the keys in. Third stage, disenchantment. Fourth stage, reorientation. Fifth stage, reconciliation and stability. These are all negative things, right? Yeah, what do you think about that?
That scares me.
Okay.
To think about it. Certainly, I the first 2 stages, the pre-retirement and handing the keys in, I'm through that. And for my part, it's more about looking forward to what comes next.
I
can't imagine anything negative. But maybe that's because I tried to read up on how to do this the best way possible before I entered into retirement. And I had the resources around me to really help me understand what makes sense and how best to do this.
Okay, that's a good answer. Sally?
I think those stages are real, but I think they really pertain to the how you decided to retire. I was very lucky. I chose when I wanted to retire. Unfortunately, other people might be downsized. There's an illness in the family. So I can see where some of those other stages within those 5 could be more relevant. But I went from turning into the keys to super happy that I now had the opportunity to do a lot of things I always wanted to do. So that was my journey. But it's not by far the only journey that individuals deal with.
I think you bring up a fair point. There are a lot of people that were forced into retirement.
Right.
And just going through this pandemic, that facilitated some forced retirement for some people. And how often do we hear interviews of people who are in their late 60s and early 70s, they weren't prepared for retirement, didn't want to retire, and they were forced into it, and even have tried to go back into the workforce and are just not able to do that.
You raise a good point, and Sally and I have talked about this. People who choose to retire right off into the sunset, for the most part, people who are forced to retire for whatever reason, and unfortunately it happens too often, really have this need to get back to work because it wasn't their choice and they didn't want to do that and they want to go back to work. And in many respects, they'll find a way to get back into some avenue of work for themselves until they're ready to retire because it's a mental state to be able to retire happily.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I like that you brought that up. It's a mental state in order to be happy when you're retired.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But not everybody gets to go back. I have a couple of friends who were downsized, and they were very angry about how that all happened. Mm-hmm. And it took years. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't happen overnight. It had to just get their arms around. It wasn't personal. But now all of a sudden they were going into what should be the golden year, so to speak, and they weren't prepared. They didn't have enough time to think about it. So ultimately, they got there, but the journey was a little longer.
Right. You know, I've heard a couple of scenarios where people are going at 100 miles an hour and then they suddenly stop and retire, and they actually, their health becomes impacted. Hmm. And so can you just talk a little bit about that? You clearly are, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later. We'll give a little tease to our listeners. We're going to talk about some special groups that you've established and can suggest for other people. But I know you've been in touch with a number of people who are retired. Can you just talk a little bit about that? From a health perspective.
Well, you raise an interesting point and something that I'm Sally and I are both avid readers. And I came across a book when I was around 60 and I retired at 63, 62. A book, Younger Next Year. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It was on the bestsellers list for years and I've read it 2-3 times now. And it talks about the fact that physically your body, believe it or not, starts to break down when you're 30 years old. You're building muscle isn't that the truth? So from that point on, you're heading down the hill instead of up the hill, and it begins to break down. And this book, written by a gerontologist and an attorney, talks about the fact that when you retire, this is not the time to become sedentary. This is the time to ramp up your efforts to keep your body going so you can do everything that you want to do in your retirement. And it talks about a simple formula, easier said than done, 45 minutes a day of cardio work for 6 days a week. And then 2 days a week, you do muscle strength training. And if you can do that, again, 45 minutes a day for 6 days a week with 1 day off just to heal and catch your breath, and then the 2 days of muscle training, it really helps you to physically be prepared for what you want to do. Mm. And as you get older, be prepared for your body going the wrong way.
Interesting.
But I think also from an emotional standpoint, you're absolutely right. You're working, you know, 10 hours a day, 50 hours a week. It's part of your DNA for as long as you've been working. And particularly in the fields that Martha and I were in, there was a lot of early morning breakfast meeting with clients, dinners. I mean, you look back and you're like, how many hours was I out this week? How many meals did I not eat home with my husband? And then you're done. And the first few weeks, you feel like you're on vacation because we've always taken vacation, a couple of weeks here and there. And then about a month later, you start to feel this, I don't know what you can call it, like this relief, if you will, that you're not worried about the clock going off at 6 o'clock in the morning and that you have 100 different things and you're multitasking in so many directions. And it's almost cathartic. Mm. And so while you're working on the physical part, as Martha says, the emotional part, you really begin to have a better appreciation of time. And even though I've been retired almost 5 years now, it still amazes me every day that I have the freedom to choose whatever I want to do today. I can be very busy or I can do absolutely nothing. And to me, that is the biggest gift in retirement.
Yeah. It's like a tease right there.
Oh, yeah.
The rest
come on down.
Still working. My brother and sister-in-law recently retired. Maybe it's not recent. I think it was just before the pandemic, actually. But what they spoke about was they want to make sure that at least there's one activity that they're planning at least each day, and then they move from there. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're enjoying the activities because, as you're saying, Sally, they're choosing those activities.
Right.
It's not being chosen for them, right?
Yeah, good point. And being productive really makes your day go faster, makes your day better. It's important to be productive in what you do. How you choose to do those things, it's an interesting thing. To Sally's point, you're going 100 miles an hour and you come to a screeching halt when you retire. And what do you do now? I actually spoke to an executive consultant about retirement in conversation for my clients and asked him the best retirement book. And he was very well read. He said that the number one retirement book, apart from financial needs and coverage and such, he said is How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free. It's a very easy read, but it talks to some very key points. One is that you need to look back to before you got out of school, before you really started working on your career, what were those passions that really interested you? And think about those as you go into retirement. What about those can you reinvigorate and bring back into your life and do something with those? Secondly, create, I think you mentioned bucket list. This isn't a bucket list so much as the author calls it a get a life tree. And each branch is something different that you want to create and look at and consider. One branch may be travel. Another one may be education. Another one may be your physical well-being. And something else may be intellectually stimulating, you know, traveling to various museums and such. But the Get a Life Tree is something you create, and it's a map for what you want to do during retirement.
That's awesome. Before you get to the others,
right,
just reminding our listeners, I'm joined today by two very special guests, Martha Stark and Sally Bollwig. Our show is powered by our generous sponsor, Pintel Coffee. It's locally roasted, ground, and packaged right here on Long Island, with a social enterprise pledge of contributing all profits to ending hunger. If you can't find Pintel Coffee at your retailer, ask them why. And I'd also like to acknowledge our honorary sponsor, Island Harvest Food Bank, Long Island's leading hunger relief organization. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes to talk about more tips and suggestions about retirement.
At Pintel Coffee, coffee is their passion, bringing you the perfect cup of coffee every cup, every time. Their strict quality assurance means richer, fuller flavor in every cup. In fact, Pintail's own master roaster is ranked among the top coffee roasters in the country. And Pintail is a Long Island company right here in Farmingdale. And talk about giving back. 100% of their profits goes to Island Harvest to help end hunger on the island. Get Pintail wherever finer coffees are sold or go to pintailcoffee.com.
We're back with our very special guests, Martha Stark and Sally Bollwig, and you're listening to Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner, talking about retirement. And we were headed to some suggestions and thoughts before our break. Sally, you were mentioning something that somebody had suggested to you about retirement.
Right. So as I was getting closer to making that decision, I had two fabulous mentors who were former bosses of mine who absolutely encouraged me to take at least 90 days after retirement and don't make a major decision during that period of time. So my husband and I were thinking about buying a place in Florida. Don't make that decision in the first 90 days. And the reason for that is you're still coming down from that hectic schedule and trying to figure out what your day-to-day is going to be like. And I thought that was invaluable advice.
That's great. So now would you buy that house in Florida?
So 4.5 years later, this past February, we actually did buy a place down in Florida. And it was the right, and it all came together at the right time.
Mm-hmm. You may have purchased the wrong size house or in the wrong community or who knows.
Oh, very true. You have to really, you know, live down there instead of having a list and saying, okay, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this because now I'm retired. You don't realize at the moment of retirement, you have lots of time after that to make all these decisions.
Right.
And I thought that was great advice.
So let's just talk about the impact of retirement on your family. And there are a couple of scenarios there. You could have children, and how does that impact your immediate family? But what about your spouse? What if your spouse is not ready to retire? So could you talk about that, ladies?
It's an interesting time. I decided to retire before my husband. He wasn't quite ready for it, even though we had talked about it. So he continued to work for a good year after I retired. So there I was for a year on my own. What am I going to do with myself? How's this going to work? Fortunate that I had the resources to talk to about what am I doing with this? What should I be doing? And as Sally said, that first 90 days, I didn't commit to anything as you have people calling you and pulling at you for your time and such. So the first major decision I made was to buy a coffee maker. I needed didn't have one from the office. I needed that. And then 90 days are up. I joined a gym. And what am I doing with my time? I started taking art classes. And the other thing that stayed with me since I retired is I grew up loving cats and dogs. And I've gone to volunteer to work at the North Shore Animal League, working with the kitties there. So you need to find yourself in this retirement period before your spouse retires and figure out where you're going with it, what you're doing, and what's important to you.
It keeps you independent.
Absolutely. You're on your own.
Yeah.
You're on your own in this.
Right.
And just one last point that one of my resources helped me to understand. She had a friend whose husband was a CEO who was going to retire, and she said to him three things. One, I'm not your cruise director. Two, I'm not your lunch buddy. And three, I'm not your employee. I'm guessing she used that last one a lot even before he retired. So it's so helpful to talk to other people to understand what can I expect, where am I going with this, what should I be contemplating.
So I have a friend who was retiring and said, you know, I'm going to be retiring soon. I'm going to plan, probably I'll take my bike over to your place. We could have lunch together from time to time. I'll go visit some other people too. And I said to him, let me just share with you, if you could call me first, because I'm actually still working and I have a full schedule. And if you just show up like it was your neighbor next door, I may not be available.
Right.
He hadn't thought about that. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, I'm ready. I'm free. I'm available to just go take my bicycle and go.
Right.
And I guess you have to sort of think about where you are in context with everybody else.
Right. Especially your spouse and your kids and how it's going to impact them.
So my husband is a professional photographer. He has his own business. And he absolutely adores what he wants to do and loves it. And so I was ready to retire before he was. And he's still working, although he slowed his business down a little bit. So we had a lot of conversation about that before I retired. And I think that conversations were good and grounded me in terms of, you know, what to expect. Because his business works out of the house. So we're in front of each other every day. So carving out time of what is it that you want to spend time on. And I shed a lot of the responsibilities I had working with various organizations when I was employed, because I wanted to then only focus on those things that really mattered to me. And I was able to do that now and volunteer more time because I had the luxury of having additional time to be able to do that.
So I love that both of you, in your own ways, chose retirement time as a time to give back to the community as well. And
absolutely,
that's close to my heart, and I very much appreciate that. And I know that not everybody can, but too often in our lives we say, if I ever had time, I want to volunteer. And so hopefully you can incorporate some service, giving back to the community. I could tell you that at Island Harvest Food Bank, we have 14,000 people registered as volunteers with Island Harvest.
That's incredible.
And while, yeah, it's an incredible amount, and our volunteers are awesome. And while they're not all retired people, and I wouldn't even say it's 50%, it's always been a consistent number of people who are retired who have made that commitment to give back when they had the time. And they do all sorts of stuff. So you could lend your professional knowledge. You are an attorney. If you are a banker, if you are in marketing or sales, you could lend that to a nonprofit organization. They often do with Island Harvest. Or you can choose to go completely away from it. We had somebody who was a principal of a very, very busy school. And he would come in and do data entry because he didn't want to be thinking when he retired at this particular work. He just wanted to do the data entry, and he was awesome at it. But again, you make that decision, but you could really give back. And so, ladies, both of you did something very interesting, and I would love for you to just briefly talk a little bit about it. But you created a group. Now, this is where I'm talking about you being networkers and, you know, always looking at your resources around you. And I know you formed a group that you call CREW, which stands for Council of Retired Executive Women or Crazy Retired Executive Women. Could you just talk a little bit about that?
It was the idea that we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into in retirement. So it made sense to reach out to other business executive women executives to talk with them about, hey, you recently retired or you're thinking about retiring. How did you do it? What's important? What do we need to talk about as we move forward over the next several years? So we brought together through our contacts an invitation-only group that is specific to business executives and talking about what issues are important to you in retirement. We talk among ourselves on topics that are important to us, or we bring in speakers. We've had the opportunity to bring in speakers on Medicare, something you're looking at as you get closer to 65. And through that, we were able to find Medicare experts to come in and speak with us. Another speaker on trust and estates planning as part of our question about what we're doing and what we're doing to help our family as we move forward. So it's just this concept of group therapy, if you will.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're doing, and let's talk to each other and use each other as a sounding board for the issues
we're
faced
with. It's that concept of I don't know what I don't know, so
yes.
How could we learn this together?
Very much so.
Well,
very much
the
so.
Whole thing is, why do each of us have to learn everything singularly, block by block by block, where you get a group of people together and you're like, you know, I've been in the financial services industry forever. How do I not know all the steps I have to go through, for example, in getting, you know, Medicare insurance? And having an expert come in and teach all of us things that we need to consider was like group learning. Mm. And I think that's one of the major benefits we have at CREW, is that we learn from each other tidbits of things you might have thought you should know, but you don't know. But now that you do and you share it with everyone, it makes certain parts of retirement a little bit easier.
That's awesome.
And we also have a lot of social stuff, too. We did a walk. Where was that? Mm-hmm. One of the parks.
Right.
During COVID. During COVID. And again, COVID. Boy, didn't that change the framework of retirement. One of the women in the group has a beautiful backyard, and we were able to sit outside and have conversation. And having that once a month get-together was really important for connecting.
Mm-hmm. Allows you the opportunity to just keep your mind thinking, going, and planning for things that you didn't know you needed to plan for.
Exactly.
Right? So what if yours is an invitation-only group? It's a closed group. What could other people do? How can you suggest people create their own groups?
It's a good question. I think you really need to think about who you want in the group and why. For our purposes as women executives, I felt that bringing together like-minded individuals who had had similar career paths, if you will, would have the ability to talk among themselves as to, okay, what are you doing? How are you handling this? So I recommend that people reach out to their contacts that they know through business, through family, and people, again, like-minded, who will be able to share their experiences as they go into this.
I like the like-minded part of it, because if you're not like-minded, it's just going to be an uncomfortable group of people. Because you're not sharing the right information that each of you are going to be benefiting from.
Right. And understand you want to set the time frame. Monthly meetings, as Sally said. How long are the meetings? Where are we going to meet? And try to make it as easy on yourself. Not a lot of heavy lifting, because you want to make this fun for everybody.
That's great.
And I think the other perspective is women of a certain age, like Martha and myself, We're really the first generation of professional women that are entering retirement or have just entered retirement that's very different from our parents and grandparents' generation. And having the networking ability to call up one or two people and say, hey, I've got this issue, what do you think? All of that connectiveness that we have as a result of this group is very beneficial.
I think you brought up such a cool point about being that first generation of real professional businesswomen. That's a really great point that you brought up. I appreciate that very much. This has been a fun conversation, and I'm so grateful for the two of you for taking some time out of your retirement to come in and talk to us about all of this. I first want to say before we close out the show that there are some groups that are out there, and you could certainly Google them and look into them. I know the Transition Network is a group that has worked with Island Harvest quite a bit. So if you put your groups together, after you have your meetings and your discussions, you could volunteer together as a group as well. So the Transition Network, I think it's TTN, they call themselves. We thought maybe SCORE might be another group to turn to find out how to find other connections and other groups. Just keep exploring, I guess, is what we're talking
Absolutely.
About, right?
Absolutely. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for being here. You've been listening to Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner with my incredibly special guests this week, Martha Stark and Sally Ballwig. We talked about so many different aspects of retirement. We hope that it has given you a window into perhaps another chapter in your life, whether it's tomorrow or sometime after that. Let's remember that retirement is the only time in your life when time no longer equals money. Retire from your job, but never retire from your mind. And also, your best days in retirement are when you give back to the community. As I talk about all the time, pick your cause, find some time to lend to others in need, and let's remember to continue this conversation by sending me your thoughts, your opinions on my Facebook page, my LinkedIn page, or you can email me at randy@whli.com. I'd really like to hear what you're thinking so we could continue this conversation. Thanks to my incredible special guests and to my producer, Hunter Highwell, and finally to you, our listeners, for allowing me into your busy day today so that we can have this very important conversation.